We're in a sermon series at the moment going through Mark's gospel chapter by chapter, verse by verse, as we're looking at, examining and exploring the man, the mission and the message of Jesus. One of the really good things about going through a book of the Bible in this way is that you can't really skip over these hard passages. Hard passages that talk about the cost of being a follower of Jesus, things that our modern cultural ears do not want to hear about, like the seriousness of sin and the reality of hell. If you've been with us over recent months, over the last nine chapters of Mark's gospel, we've been taken on this journey as learning all about Jesus and his disciples and how they follow after him and how they go out and minister to others and they preach the good news and they heal the sick and they cast out demons. And we discover that it's not until chapter 8, which is about halfway through the gospel, that the disciples realize who Jesus actually is. We have this real turning point in Mark chapter 8 where the Apostle Peter realizes that Jesus is actually the Messiah. He is the promised one. He is the Son of God who's been sent into the world to open up the way to new and eternal life. And it's after this realization in chapter 8 that Jesus then starts to tell his disciples about how sin will actually be dealt with. He starts to tell them about the cross, and we see that in chapters 8 and 9 and 10, three times, once in each chapter, Jesus says in no uncertain terms that he will suffer, that he will be put to death, and that he will rise again. And it's from this point onwards around chapter 8 that Jesus spends more and more of his time preparing his disciples for what is about to happen. Things are about to get really hard. Hardship and trials are on their way because their leader is going to be rejected and endure a very public and painful death. And Jesus wants to make it clear, crystal clear to his disciples, that following him is serious stuff. Being a believer isn't just about finding inner peace and joy and satisfaction and fulfillment. It does provide those things, but also part of being a follower of Jesus is that you've got to make some hard and costly choices in your life. If we're really going to have Jesus at the center and core of our lives, then we must take him and his words seriously. Because as we hear in today's passage, there is a lot at stake. Let's read again what Jesus says here at the end of Mark 9. We read, we know from earlier in the chapter that Jesus and his followers, they're in someone's house, and so they're in quite a private setting for this teaching. He's not out among the crowds. They're in this house, and Jesus says to them from verse 43, he says, "If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than with two hands and go to hell where the fire never goes out. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than to have two feet and be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into hell." It's pretty confronting teaching, isn't it? And unfortunately, there have been some people throughout church history over the last 2,000 years who have taken this passage literally, and it's led to devastating consequences. You know, physically hacking off body parts that might lead us into sin is not what Jesus is calling for. And this passage is an important lesson for us in biblical interpretation that not everything in the Bible is to be taken literally. But the term we're looking for here is metaphoric hyperbole. Jesus uses these body parts as a metaphor, and then cutting off body parts as hyperbole. But just because he's not being literal does not mean he's not serious. In fact, by using these kind of words, Jesus shows that he is incredibly serious about the way that we treat sin in our lives. The thoughts and the words and the actions that go against God and his ways. And Jesus says, if there is anything in our lives that might cause us to stumble, then we are to rid ourselves of it. Cut it out. As we delve a bit deeper, I want us to look firstly at the three body parts that Jesus talks about here in the passage. The hand, the foot, and the eye. Each of them are really important body parts to us, aren't they? The hand, the foot, and the eye. Jesus is not talking about the fingernails, the tonsils, and the hair. I know that hair is very important to some of us, but he's not talking about the important parts. And in making this point, Jesus here takes these body parts that are really important to us, good and useful body parts, and in saying this, Jesus highlights the fact that there might be good and useful things in our lives. Things that are good and useful to us, even though we might even regard them as healthy or vital to our happy lives. And he says, if those good, important parts of your life are causing you to sin, if those good parts of your life are causing you to be disobedient to God, then get rid of them. Cut them out of your lives. Steer clear of them. Jesus doesn't only want us to avoid the actual sin, does he? He's saying that we're to take sin so seriously, we're to take it so seriously in our lives that we're not only to rid ourselves of the actual sin, but anything in our lives that might lead to that sin. Even if that thing is good or important or useful to you, Jesus says, get rid of it. There's another thing, though, about the hands and the feet and the eyes, these three body parts. They cover where we go, our feet, what we do, our hands, and what we look at with our eyes. It really covers day-to-day living, doesn't it? And it causes us to think about everywhere we go, everything we look at, everything we do, and if we're going to particular places that might lead us into sin. Even though they're not bad in and of themselves, but we know that going there will lead us to sin, then we're to cut it out. If we do things that we know are going to lead us to sin, even though doing something isn't the actual sin, but it will lead us to sin, then we're to cut it out. If we look at things that might not be in and of themselves bad to look at, but if it leads us to sin, gouge it out. When we're engaging in this kind of metaphorical language from Jesus, when we think about what he says, we discover that it applies to a whole range of things in our lives. And for each of us, it's going to look different. And it's incumbent on each of us to take the time. It's incumbent on each of us to take the time before God to really consider and think about and pray about what are the things in our lives, good and important things, that we need to get rid of because they lead us to sin. Now, as followers of Jesus, we need to sometimes make very hard and very costly choices. Where are the places we go? What are the things we're doing? What are we looking at that causes us to sin? And it's going to look different for everybody. Maybe there's certain apps on your phone or certain websites you like to visit. You know that it leads you down a pathway that you shouldn't go down. It leads you to lust. It leads you to covet things you don't have or people you don't have or to be jealous of how someone looks. If that app or that phone is causing you to stumble, even though it's a very useful and good thing for you, get rid of it, says Jesus. Make the hard and costly choice to chop it out of your life. Remove it. Gouge it out.
Maybe if you're at a certain restaurant or a pub that you might go to, and at this particular place, you know that you're not going to be able to control your greed or your alcohol intake. And every time you go to this place with these people, you just can't control yourself. Jesus says, even though it's a good and important thing and a good place for you, make the hard and costly decision to cut it out. If it causes you to stumble, get rid of it. Maybe it's a particular group of people you're involved with or see regularly, and all you do with these people is gossip about others or complain about things, and you just love to complain and gossip and talk about other people and spread negative things about them. They might be good people, they might be important to you, but if being with them causes you to stumble, Jesus says, cut it off. Maybe you're involved in some kind of business venture or shareholding, and you know that it's unethical, but it's making you lots of money. If doing that or being with these people is causing you to sin, remove it. Maybe there's particular shops you go to or movies you like to watch or holiday destinations that cause you to covet things or lust after things. Get it out, gouge it out. Again, it's going to look different to all of us, but in every situation, it's going to be a hard and costly and painful decision. Cutting off a foot, gouging out an eye, chopping off a hand is not nice. It makes life difficult and uncomfortable and inconvenient. But Jesus says it's worth it. Because Jesus says ultimately our lives head in one of two directions, and the choices that we make today about taking the sin in our lives seriously really matters. Jesus talks about either entering into God's kingdom, which he says is life, or we enter into the fire that never goes out. Fire or life, the only two options Jesus gives here. Now, in our Bibles and in our reading this morning, we read from the NIV, the New International Version, and in verses 43, 45, 47, we see the word hell. And I think for most of us, when we hear this word, when we read the word hell in the Bible, we've got all kinds of preconceived ideas or thoughts or emotions that might arise from this word. We might tend to try and ignore it and not think too much about it. But it's important that we look carefully at what's said here so that we can understand what Jesus is saying. And in the original language of the New Testament, in the Greek, as Mark is writing this gospel, he uses a word here that we have translated as hell, and the word that he writes is Gehenna. Gehenna. Now, when Jesus uses this word, Gehenna, with his disciples, they know exactly what he's talking about, because Gehenna was an actual place. It was a place outside of the city walls of Jerusalem in the southwest of the city, and Gehenna was essentially what was the city's rubbish dump. And it's believed that this rubbish dump was continually on fire. It was always smouldering away as the city's waste burnt away. Back in the Old Testament, Gehenna was a place where people had practiced human sacrifices. And we read in Jeremiah that God was not pleased with this. And then eventually King Josiah, you might remember we learned about King Josiah during Chronicles, and Josiah puts a stop to this practice of human sacrifice. And instead he turns Gehenna into the city's garbage dump. And in the day of Jesus, when he's teaching his disciples these things, Gehenna is this putrid smelling, smoldering, burning place where rubbish and carcasses are taken out to be burnt with and dealt with. So whether you want to use the word Gehenna or hell, either way, it's clearly not a place you want to be. And if that's not clear enough, when talking about Gehenna, Jesus then quotes a passage from Isaiah 66, and he says that the place is where the worms that eat them do not die and the fire is not quenched. In this passage, Jesus says that our lives head in one of two directions. Life in the kingdom of God or Gehenna, the smoldering tip where the worms do not die and the fire is not quenched. And Jesus says to his followers, he says, you're much better off making decisions now, costly decisions now about sin. You're much better going through life maimed than end up in a place like Gehenna. These are confronting words, aren't they? And we, if we claim to follow Jesus, we must take them seriously. Do you heed the warning? Do you take your Christian life seriously? Are you making purposeful, difficult, costly decisions in order to avoid sin? Do you seek to walk each day in holiness, in obedience to God? The Christian life is not just about coasting along. It's not about living for yourself and your own comforts and pursuing your own agenda and doing whatever you want, just rocking up to church every now and again and forgetting about faith the rest of the time. If you've been doing that, if that's the kind of life you lead, if you ignore the way that Jesus asks you to command you to live, then you've got to wake up. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus and then you just coast through life living for yourself, indulging in sin, not giving two hoots about the way Jesus calls you to live, it's time to wake up. You must take your discipleship seriously and heed this warning from Jesus. Because the decisions we make today about how we live really matter. Whether you make costly choices to live a life that pleases God or whether you take the easy road and indulge in sinful passions, Jesus says it matters. Notice here that Jesus is talking to his disciples. He's issuing this stern warning about life and death to those who claim to follow him. Jesus here at this point, he's not out among the crowds, is he? He's not wandering the streets talking to random people. And if you read Mark carefully, you'll discover that Jesus actually only ever talks about this kind of really hard topic with his disciples. He doesn't use it as a threat in evangelism. He doesn't preach a turn or burn message to the crowds, but he does talk about Gehenna in the context of a very stern warning to his own people. If you claim to be a follower of Jesus, do you heed the warning? Do you take sin seriously? The thing about sin, though, is that no matter how hard you try and deal with it in your own strength, no matter how many metaphoric limbs you try and cut off, it keeps coming back. You know, you can gouge your left eye out, but within minutes, your right eye is going to cause you to sin, isn't it? And then you've got to gouge your right one out. You can chop your left hand off, and then within minutes, your right hand's going to cause you to sin, and then you've got no hands. You can remove a foot, and within minutes, your other foot's going to cause you to sin, and very quickly, there's no body left. Because sin is this thing that's so persistent, it's so pervasive, it's so ingrained, it's so deeply rooted in our hearts that ultimately the solution cannot be the continual chopping off of limbs. Because there will be nothing. Yes, Jesus calls us to take sin very seriously, but the ultimate solution to sin cannot be just cutting off limbs. We can try and try and try and try and try and try to cut sin out of our lives, but we cannot do it on our own because sin is an issue of the heart. We need heart surgery. Our hearts are so inclined to live for ourselves and not for God that there's a deeper issue that we cannot fix by cutting off limbs. And Jesus, the eternal Son of God, came into our world to heal our hearts by the mutilation of his own body. The body of Jesus was whipped and beaten and torn apart and nailed onto a cross and hung up into a public place to slowly bleed and die. The body of Jesus, his body, was maimed and mutilated so that the sin that's so deeply ingrained within our hearts can be cleansed. His body was broken, his blood was shed so that forgiveness of sins is made possible, so that, that deep issue of a sinful heart could be fixed. You know, trying our own strength to chop out sin from our lives ultimately does not save us from Gehenna. Because sin is like this pervasive disease that doesn't go away by chopping off an arm. We need Jesus. We need his forgiveness. We need the cleansing and the restoration that only he offers. And only Jesus can do that by his death on the cross and his resurrection, where he takes the punishment for our sins on himself. That is the only way our sin can be healed and our hearts be cleansed. We come to him, accepting his free gift of forgiveness and life, putting our faith and trust in him. You know, part of having faith is responding to Jesus in obedience. You can't say, yes, I believe in Jesus. Yes, I believe he is Lord of my life, and then not do what he says. He's not Lord of your life if you don't actually obey him. And Jesus says that if you do obey me, if you follow me, you take sin seriously. You ought to live a costly life, fleeing from sin, from anything that causes you to stumble. Come to him in faith and obedience and experience true and everlasting life in his kingdom. Come to Jesus and experience fullness of life. Come to him and experience the freedom of sins forgiven. It's never too late to come back to him. It's never too late to start taking sin seriously in your life. Let today be that day. I want to invite you to stand as we pray, and the band's going to come up and we'll respond in song. Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. Father, we know that no matter how hard we try, we cannot fix the issue of sin by ourselves. We need you, Jesus. We need your forgiveness. We need your grace. May we come back to you with a contrite heart, acknowledging our weakness and our deep need for you, our Saviour Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.